Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Season two, what it do?
Season two, what it do, bestie? And look at the surprise. You get to see our faces.
You get to see our faces and you see that we ain't ugly.
Yes, hello. We look just like a caricature.
Okay.
She did a very, very good job. Well, welcome back, season two.
Nice. Welcome back, best friend. We took some time off. And let me tell you, when we announced the season finale, I had people hitting me up like, it's too early. Why are y'all going on break? Y'all need to wait until this show finishes. I'm like, dang, y'all, if we dictate our show on whatever show's airing, we'll never take a break.
No, we would air literally every day, especially with Housewives, which is one of our favorites that people follow us for. There's always a Housewives on. So we can't not take a break, but we got to have more stuff to talk about, more things to put
you guys in. I needed that break. It was a good one. I did miss the show, as we were on the break, and then I'm watching shows, and I'm like, ooh, but it just feels good to have had a month off, and now we back at it again.
Like we never left, ready to talk about the shit on TV, because we watch a lot of it, and there's a lot of shit on TV that we've missed, so I can't wait to talk about that. Well, first of all, how have you been? How's life in the past 30 days? I mean, we speak, but this is for y'all.
Yeah, we talk all the time, but life has been amazing. Just working, adulting, missing being a teenager at times.
Oh, gosh. We used to have the best life. We've been friends since we were teenagers. We never stressed anything. We just went to school.
And flirted with boys.
After work. Ugh.
And it was just so much fun. And now you wake up every day and it's responsibility.
Emails.
Clients. You gotta pay your bills, go to work, and be a bad bitch all at the same time. And it's
a cake. Metabolism. Remember we used to just eat everything and never
everything and it didn't matter.
Now my friends are making fun of me. I'm looking at drinks this is an extra 12 grams in sugar. I cannot have this.
Speaking of drinks.
See, I have water. I'm doing good.
I have water as well.
Water and wine. But we are doing good balance. And I told myself I can't drink wine during the week. I'm trying to cut my sugar intake.
That's so good.
Water and juice.
I have some for the both of us.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So let's get into our weekly grab.
Let's grab it up.
Oh, wait. How have you been?
You know what? I'm black and blessed. That's what I've been telling everybody. You know, work is working, busy, but good busy. I just can't wait for the summer. The weather's starting to break in New York. Yeah. It's starting to get, the birds are chirping. They outside waiting for us. I'm good. I just can't wait for June, July.
Summertime. You feel less like an adult in the summer.
Yeah.
I think everyone agrees it's the summertime. Relax. With all the meetings and responsibilities, it's more time to have fun, and we'll reconvene in September.
A lot of my people I work with, they'll be like, you know what? We don't need this meeting before Labor Day. Yes. So I can't wait for that part of we don't need to meet today. It's not.
Yeah, it's life is just more fun in the summer, so I'm here for it as well.
Yeah, so I'm just counting down the days to June, July, the travel, the drinks, the rooftop.
We are traveling this summer.
Catching flights, not feelings, period.
Okay, and on that note, now we're into our weekly grab.
Grab it up. All right, you go first. What's on your weekly grab?
Well, I think we'll go first because what's first on our list? We're all talking about it. The Real Housewives of Atlanta, season 15. We just caught the premiere and it is everything we wanted and more. It's bringing back that essence of Housewives of Atlanta that we've been missing. I was seeing little chatter because, I'd be keeping my ear to the Twitter streets and everything. And so when they just dropped a trailer for the season, people were kind of sleeping. like, oh, I don't know. It's going to look like another boring season. But, you know, I did an interview with
Sonya. I did watch it. It was great.
And so I had got to see the screener of the premiere 2 weeks ago. And I was like, this is good. Like, episode one, I was here for. So I was waiting for everybody else to watch so we could all be on the same accord. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the reaction now, everyone's like, oh, yeah, Ro is back. Like, yes.
Yeah. I love that. Even from the intro, the actual new looks and the new background, I feel like they must have gave production a little bit more coins. Like, all right, this is the first one. Let's make them look rich. I love the outfit change. I love like the gold, the shimmer. All six of the ladies look amazing. So I'm very happy. I think every Sunday they're going to have us tuned in because they started with a bang. And I like that it doesn't feel fabricated in terms of like, I feel like the beefs are really beefing this season.
Yeah, yeah, it's not, I mean, it's been a while and I did ask Sonya that question during our interview. I don't really know Atlanta for the storylining, right? Like Atlanta has always been known for more organic drama. You'll of course maybe get a friend of or a new face who does too much for attention, but it's not so much where y'all are meeting before the season starts to start plotting on what the storyline is going to be and who we're going to attack and who we're going to go for. And Sonya made that point in our interview. And I was like, mm-hmm, yeah, because we know some other franchises, they have that issue.
They got to always pre-plan, which I think makes it less organic. And I think that's the one thing that RHOA has always had. Like, it's really organic. You can tell they know of people. They're not just making things up. I really appreciate that. They're not like, oh, I'm not going to like you for tea. Well, not everybody. But for the most part, most of them are seasoned in, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give it to you real. So
yes, come on for the transparency.
We need it, especially
show them how it's done. Potomac, take notes.
Please.
Okay. Even if you're not like, Sonya is not the one out here with the rah-rah and she's not confrontational. But I love so far what we're going to see from her this season. I just even seeing her family dynamic. I was here for it. I was like, girl, you got a full house. They all work for you. Like you could tell, like feelings get involved. The sister feels like you're overstepping your boundaries with now you got her husband working for you. And you're still looking at it as, oh, everybody basically kind of came up off of me. So yeah, I love
that because it's a different dynamic of the show. We've never seen someone like Candy works a lot, but she doesn't work a lot with her family. Right. Sonya literally has everybody not only in her house, but in her payroll. So imagine you being my assistant and then I got to see you at home for dinner.
Exactly. No, so just seeing her share her life, whether people be like, oh, she's a flop, she's boring. It's just like, you know, Giselle, take notes. Like this is how you can just share your life. Whether people want to rock with it or not, it's still you just being you. And for the most part, I think people will rock with it.
Yeah, especially her family, because I love that they just are very strong-minded, but they're going to tell her what it is. So
right
here for Sonya. Do you want to go by girl or do you want to go by situation?
Let's go by situation. So we talked about Sonya. I wanted to talk about that because she's the returning housewife. What do we think about what she's going to bring this season? Drew was MIA.
Okay. This is a telltale sign that she getting a divorce. How you got a family crisis?
Yes.
And your husband decides to go to a party instead of supporting you if your dad is sick or if you're going through a family. Aren't you family? Aren't you family? That's like me having, you having a crisis and your husband is like, you know what? Let me go to a party instead. So if there's any kind of like psychic ability that's going to foreshadow this divorce, it's episode one.
And I don't even know if she was dealing with her family crisis at the time and thinking like, I'm going to divorce this man. Because I'm sure now watching it back, she's probably just like, wow. Like it was really foretelling what was going to happen. But girl, we could have told you that 2 seasons ago.
I could have told you that when he called you a Lunchable. Okay. When he compared you to a Lunchable.
Sure did.
But and then he did the confessional like, you know, I have to support my man, Ralph. Oh, you have to support your friend, not your wife. Interesting.
Right. Right.
I feel like the psychiatrist they go to.
Interesting. Right. So now what do you think of Courtney versus Candy? So Courtney is the newbie. She wastes no time taking aim at Candy to the point where Candy says she was going to headbutt that bitch.
And that's a quotation. My best friend does not. She is saying, and I quote, headbutt this bitch.
And the funny thing is, when I saw that in the trailer, I was thinking like, ooh, I can't wait for that to come. I'm thinking it's going to come later down the line in the season. Episode one, season premiere. I'm a headbutt that bitch. I was like, damn.
I'm going to go a little bit into Courtney deeper later, but I just even think her introduction, she came on as Sheree's friend. Her kids and Sheree's kids went to school together. Why was that not the premise, you coming in? And why could you not build the beef on, oh, maybe Sheree and Candy not getting along, so maybe I don't like Candy by association. But for you to make it seem like Candy missed too many jobs, Burris Tucker is that concerned about you that she's asking around. Asking one person is not asking around.
Yeah,
that's two different things. Asking you is not asking around. So I just feel like she's a lot. She's coming for my girl Candy. And Candy was just like, what's that energy? And I agree. She was very aggressive in that confrontation. She was very
unnecessary. I felt like she was doing a lot and a lot of nothing at the same time. Very disappointed as a Capricorn. I don't know. Sheree felt like that needed to be shared. She's a Capricorn. And so I'm like, okay, I'm already ready to give her the benefit of the doubt because she a Capricorn. And I was just like, girl, ain't no Capricorn of mine going to be sitting here reaching for an issue with somebody that is like doing big things. We love being associated with people doing big things. Just say you're a fan.
That's it.
And you're looking for a moment and carry on.
And then Sonya even said, like, I could tell by when we spoke about it earlier that she felt a way. And you know, I love Miss Candy and her speak on it. So Candy basically said that there's something called the beat. So basically in the show, when they talk about something beforehand and they bring it up on camera, they call it a beat. Like, you're going to be the beat of that episode. She didn't know that this Courtney girl was talking to Sonya and them about her asking somebody. So Candy said she came in even a little bit more defensive because she's like, I don't know, I've heard of the girl. I'm thinking this is an introduction. But when Sonya said, oh, we were talking about you, she was like, oh, so this girl planted this. She thought about this and she wanted to purposely come for me. So I'm not feeling it. You're doing too much.
However, thank you. I love, you know, I'm always here for the mess. And that helped set off the season. And mind you, it's like, this is what's bringing back the essence of Atlanta. Cause it's like, this is happening simultaneously as Kenya is opening up about the DM she got from Martell prior to him starting to go public with Sheree. So now we'll get into that. Mm. What are your thoughts on Sheree and Martell? Sheree kicking off season 15 with her new boo thing. And it's Martell Holt from Love and Marriage Huntsville.
Sheree's the only one to me that I feel like perpetuates a storyline as it pertains to love. I don't think Sheree is really looking for a man. I think Sheree is looking for a continuation of her check. I don't think she cared about Tyrone. I don't think she cares about Martell. I think she needs a storyline. And she by Sheree clearly wasn't it. It still ain't it. As we can tell. You are going to finish this with some more in-depth Martell stuff. Because I'm not a Love and Marriage Huntsville person. I watch clips. But Sheree, he walked into your house thinking the chef was about to give him a threesome. That's your man's? Like, that's your man's. No, like, it just doesn't seem real. And I think it's one thing to be like, this is my little fun thing. But for her to be like, I'm having a lot of fun. We taking this up. Girl, you know you don't give a damn about this man.
Right.
You just need something to talk about. Your kids are grown. Your business ain't businessing. Tyrone ain't it no more. So you need something to kind of bring to it. So I'm just not. I love Sheree. I just rather her be the bone collector than be the fake relationship collector.
It's like we're not forcing Giselle to go out and get a man. Like, she can be the bone collector, but it's like, girl, at least still share some of your life. Right. So nobody wants you to have a man to have a storyline, Sheree. But I think, yes, in the essence of original Housewives and as an OG, in her mind, she probably thinks she needs to have a man of some type. So yeah, it's definitely given PR stunt. It's definitely given, I can help you. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You could appear on my show. We have more viewers. It'll give you visibility. Anybody who watches Love and Marriage Huntsville knows first thing that Martell is a narcissist. Every core bit of a narcissist. The latest episode of Huntsville on Saturday showed you Martell basically using their children against Melody. And, you know, they're divorced, they're co-parenting, but at the same time, Martell does a lot to try to still enforce control over Melody and their children, despite them being divorced and co-parenting. Like, when the kids are with her, they're with her. He makes issue with, oh, you have too many babysitters. I don't want people watching my children. It, you know, like, why are you worried about it? The kids are fine. They're taken care of. You know, the main fact is the fact that they're divorced because of his cheating, like horrible mm-hmm. cheating.
To and having a baby. It's one thing when you cheat. It's another thing when you have a baby.
With a whole mistress. And if you want to go watch season one of Huntsville, you will see it all play out, because that's what makes it such good television, because you can tell they went into that show not thinking this was going to come out. And so to see it happen in a real time where he's getting caught, like they start off as a power couple and the other people are hating on them and they are the Hulks. And then by the season finale, it's like, whoa, this bombshell of the divorce, it's a divorce. Then by the reunion of season one, they're giving it another go. And she's pregnant with their fourth child because she decided to take him back, only to by the kickoff of season two, they divorce it again because now she found out he ain't never left that mistress alone, and the mistress was pregnant too.
So Sheree doesn't know this. Sheree?
Exactly. It's like, this is what I'm saying. It's just like, this man's history is too crazy. So for Sheree to like choose to go with that after, let's put it where it's at, you just finished with a former convicted of fraud. It's like, girl, you sure know how to pick them, don't you?
She needs Marlo's life coach.
And granted, the two-piece looks suit, but it looked cute, but not worth $280. She by Sheree / Shein.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's given that Sheree, you are too old to be this dumb.
I would rather her be on, like, giving women of her age and her fineness, because Sheree is beautiful. I would rather her storyline be, watch you be fine and be out here, but you making it seem like you like him, you love him, you know his history. Kenya is telling you, Candy is telling you. You know that he literally is trying to still get Melody back, I heard, from little clips. If Melody called him, I heard, and was like, I want to be with you, he will go back with her.
Sure enough, so would. Like,
you don't think he's using you for the followers? Because I know Atlanta is way bigger of a show and franchise.
Yeah.
So it's like, sir.
And I'm sure Carlos King is all for it. Come on with the cross promotion.
Because all the people are going to do is want to know who is Martell.
Now they're going to want to check out Huntsville. As they should, because it's a good show. But yeah, it's given breakup. Like, now the contract is done. They both did their filming. Both of their seasons have wrapped. It's giving...
He will not be sitting behind her at the reunion. That's all. No.
But anyways, I'm excited for the rest of this season. What are you expecting from season 15?
I have just been more and more team Kenya. Like, I think from her first season to now, I love her evolution. I'm team Kenya with this rich man. I hope he's not a mark with this whole restaurant thing.
I hope so.
But I am team Kenya. She just looks like she's glowing. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm team Kenya 100%. So I'm here for her. I'm here for Marlo to hopefully not be the biggest villain. I like that, you know, she's kind of digging into like being the Monty situation. I hope she doesn't get on my nerves. So far, so good. But one thing about Marlo, she don't know how to just, there's like a level, and she always overgoes.
She goes too far when she's getting into back and forth. And I still just really, I don't know, something just rubs me the wrong way when it comes to the dynamic with her nephews.
Mm.
I just can't. It's kind of just like, are you fabricating anything because the cameras are here? Like, I don't know. Something's just, I don't know.
It's sitting right with you.
Mm-mm. It's just not sitting right with me. No. Because it's just like, other than that, what is her storyline? So it's like, are you doing this for, are you like even more invested in this for storyline? And especially after you got dragged last season for trying to help the boys out.
Yeah.
Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the shoe was on the other foot and you kept this part of your life more private and didn't share that you kicked them out last year, would this be your life? Is this really what you want? Do you really want to be, I mean, you know, are you really down for this Monty life? Or now is it like, you know what? Yeah, the fans are right. Like, yeah, I don't know.
They went back with their mom. I'm also here for the dragging of Ralph. I will be joining that bandwagon. I think they set it up perfectly in episode one.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you got on camera and said you had a family crisis and then you weren't there for your wife. So I can't wait for us to drag him throughout season two if we watch too much TV because he deserves it.
Yes. So moving on with our weekly grab. Next on my list is, I believe it came on right after Atlanta, Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
I checked it out this morning. I love it, love it, love it. I was going into this hopeful because I am a Summer House fan and that show is starting to phase out. And so now seeing that this is like the first official spinoff and it's like a diverse, focused on all Black cast, I was like, I hope they do it justice. Because, you know, we saw what they did with Candy and the gang. And I was just like, okay, I don't know if they really care about an all Black cast just yet, Bravo. But no, it just, Candy and the gang wasn't. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Martha's Vineyard, the cast, they are young. They are attractive. They're smart. They're educated. It's definitely given Black excellence. Very insightful discussions. Even around the conversation of Black excellence, they have this one gay cast member. And they start to play gospel church hymn kind of music when he gets on his soapbox. Because he gets on his soapbox. But he started preaching about how he doesn't like the term Black excellence because it's only tied to what white people put on us as to what they deem excellent. He was like, I was raised by a single mother who worked, da, 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 da. That's Black excellence. Like, I loved it. I was like, this is season finale, season premiere. Then it's like, at the same time, it's like in cast, in the in-house feuds, they start beefing because a girl brought her dog to the house. And I'm like, it's so petty, but I'm like, that's some real shit. Like, imagine somebody come bring their dog to the house. You got to deal with this fur and poop. It's like, so it creates this whole like melee, but it's centered around this married couple that might've gotten married too soon. And so there's a lot of cracks you could see between this couple that will possibly start to surface on the show. And then along with just when they're showing the foreshadowing of what's to come, it's like, you're seeing arguments and people getting in each other's faces. It's like what you love of a reality television show. Oh, you know, they talk about D9 because one of the main guys is there's like two alphas and there's two kappas. So I think it's a great representation of Black culture. And it's a great addition to Bravo, just sprinkling in some seasoning in there. And I'm here for what they got coming.
I can't wait. I was like, I know, I think Drazen's probably already watched it already. So tonight when I cook my dinner, I will be watching it as I eat my fish because I heard a lot of good things. I was kind of on like the Twitter of it and it has a lot of good reviews. I saw Candace from RHOP was like, I'm really here for this. Like, it's a whole new thing. So I'm excited. I'm excited for Bravo to try new things. Like, everything doesn't have to be like housewives related. Yes. So I'm just happy that they're taking something that works, giving a little seasoning on it.
For it. And the fact that it's on Bravo, because I was starting to think like, okay, they only put the people of color on Peacock, but okay, the Family Karma, which I told you I had started watching it and that one's pretty good. I gotta keep watching that. And then we got Martha's Vineyard. So now. They could bring a Latina show. That used to be my show on VH1, Cartel Crew. That was my show. I would love if they brought that back.
I loved Mob Wives. Drita was my girl.
Oh, Mob Wives. Come on. That was Drita. The best.
I miss Drita so, because you knew Drita was really about that life. Like, they
really that was
that
life. She would be like, yo, just straight in the room, fight.
They would just come in the room like, let's go. And I'm like, Drita.
She would be dead ass.
She was just crazy, but I miss her. I'm definitely going to
what's on your weekly grab?
My favorite show ever, which you don't understand, but I love. Ted Lasso on Apple TV. I was late to the Ted Lasso train. I was like, this white show. Like, I don't want to watch it.
Yes.
From the first episode, I fell in love. So the premise is they take this Southern guy from Kentucky who's a football college coach. He wins with like the worst team ever. And a British woman gets a divorce from her husband. And as like a prank, she hires him to coach her new soccer team because that's what she got in the divorce. She hates her husband. He cheated with a younger woman and she does it as like a prank. But what she doesn't expect is to fall in love with Ted, the lessons they learn from each other and just how much they grow as people. So this is a show that's funny. It has that dry humor. If you like The Office, like me, or Parks and Rec and things like that, you'll love Ted Lasso. But they also deal with divorce in a very interesting way. They deal with love. They deal with ageism. They deal with sexism. They have a lot of common themes. And I love shows that are not predictable. This past episode, you have Keely, who's like the PR girl. She's dating her investor, which is a woman named Jack. So they're dating, and Jack, basically a sex tape gets leaked. Like, that happens with famous people. And somebody
telling me the whole show,
a sex tape. And you would think that the girlfriend would kind of be understanding, but she kind of just takes this very closed-minded idea, and things start getting revealed, like the girl's closeted. So it's just a really funny show. It's a feel-good show. And then you always root for Ted Lasso because he hasn't won yet. They haven't won anything, but he's really trying to be a good father, a good coach, a good dad. And he also deals with anxiety and panic attacks. So I've never seen a man in any type of drama comedy show go to therapy. His therapist is a Black woman. And it just is really eye-opening to see this man like, yeah, I'm a grown man. I got a son. I got an ex-wife. But I have panic attacks and I have anxiety, and this is how I deal with it. So you need a feel-good show, something that'll surprise you, that's a little funny. Ted Lasso on Apple TV. It's my favorite.
It sounds like it's a good, wholesome show, like well-rounded storyline-wise, and just like different kind of representation, like you said, in regards to like mental health and love and relationships. And
I want to go by the places.
What's the guy's name?
Jason Sudeikis, but the show is Ted Lasso. That's his name.
Yes. Someone white. It's because this goes into my next on my weekly grab, because I started watching Succession. I am up to now episode 7, season 1.
Okay.
And my question is, when does it get good?
It depends. Okay, so to me, season 2.
Oh, okay. It's like one of the Game of Thrones shit.
It's kind of like
season 4. No, season.
No. It's only 4 seasons, and I think each season has like 10 or 8 to 10 episodes. They have to build to like the monarchy that is the royal family. It kind of like the Murdoch/Trumps, to where you have these really polarizing people in this company, and it's just drama. And you think you would never do that to your sister or your brother, but for money and for fame, they will. I think season 2 is my favorite season. Okay. Season 1 was good, but season 2...
Season 1 is not good, but if you say
It's okay.
When does it get good? When?
Season 2. I think by the time you finish...
I mean, I would say, if you're saying okay, I guess I'll say it's okay in the sense that, one, cinematically, it is great, right? Like, of course, it's well-funded, so it's well-shot, the scenes, the setup, all of that. It's extremely dry, right? Like, the dialogue, the scene setting, the storylines, the buildup, extremely dry. But at the same time, it is really giving us this inside look into these kinds of families, right? Which they are all white. But at the same time, it's just so white. And I just feel like, how was this able to really like become such a thing? It had to be that it's like, oh, because who else is going to provide this representation, right? Who's going to provide this representation of these kinds of families? They're only primarily white. So it's just like, for me as like a Black woman who I do like, I prefer to, if I'm watching a show, it doesn't have to be reality television, but I need some kind of sauce to pull me in and keep me going through the show. I'm not necessarily getting that. So I'm just like, how is this able to become a thing? Like, it has to be. Go ahead.
One is based on a lot of these racist white people in these things. So one thing you learn as you keep watching is, he's racist. The main guy, Logan, he's racist as hell. So it couldn't be a lot of Black people because he's based on a lot of these white racist media mogul people. So that's one. Two, there's a little seasoning in season 3. Sanaa Lathan comes, and I won't tell you her role, but Sanaa Lathan actually got nominated for an Emmy for her role in season 3. So I think they don't have as many. And then you hear them, oh, he's racist. They talk about it a lot.
And that's the one thing. And like I said, as a Black woman who is scorned over corporate America, I'm like, is it going to ignite any change? Because I hope you're seeing the problem. You could clearly see the problem. I know you're entertained by it, hence the awards and all the fanfare over this show.
But are you taking this back to your work environments? Because I'm sure it looks like how the fuck it looks on this show. And mm-hmm. y'all are just over here praising these people for playing assholes, real, like, based on real life assholes. Like, this is America. It's a problem. Are we just going to keep continuing to be entertained by these white actors benefiting off of a show that is really based on what's really happening out here and is a huge part of the problem? Are we just going to continue to pass it off like it's happening in corporate America and watching Succession with a predominantly white cast just play their family members?
I hope so. I hope on a bigger scale, people who are not in this learn from it. But I also just doing a lot of research on how they base this on the creator. He did a lot of research on the Trumps, the Murdochs, mm-hmm. the Kushners, all these white prominent families. So I think it tells their tale of how, like, money and greed
yeah.
is the only thing that matters. They don't care about being fair. They're sexist. They're racist. They're evil people. And I think this is kind of like a very honest depiction. I yeah. hope in the show, because like I said, it's on its final season. This is the last season, season 4. So I hope once it ends, we see that. But I also, more than anything, hope that everyone watching this is like, no, there are people really like this. There are people really like this who are racist, who are sexist, who take advantage of their power and their money, they do sexual assault, who do racist ass things in public. So I really, to your point, I really hope that this opens a lot of people's minds. But I also see like, oh, they kind of probably have like inspiration from like, and I'm like, oh, let's write this down. Fox News did what? Oh, okay. Because it gives very much Fox News.
It's given most major companies in America. You go to it, most any company that's more than likely not owned by a person of color, and you go step into that office, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It looks like that.
Especially family owned.
White men in suits at the top.
Yep.
A little sprinkle of white women going down towards the bottom. And then hints of color around. And if there are people of color up in there, they're Asian.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Because the Asian guy, they're trying to battle with the Asian guy, and he's like, I'm rooting for this Asian ass. I was like, you better take their asses down. I don't know if he does, but I hope so.
And it also gives me a better understanding of how their mind, because we don't know what that's like. So when I watch it, I'm like, oh, this is really how people feel. And also my personal problem with the Succession idea of family owned businesses, like that stuff is taught, that stuff is inherited. So it can't change if you're keeping it in the family. Nothing can change if the owner goes from the son to the father to the daughter and they all were raised the same way. So I think to me, the number one thing in corporate America is take it out your damn family.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody.
And take it and make it and diversify it, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please make it representative of the country that you're mm-hmm. trying to serve. Stop with that
old HBO school. Max, listen to us.
Yeah. Stop with that old school Logan shit.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That way of thinking and that way of running businesses, it needs to be done with.
Yeah. But see them talk about that a lot more. Like, he's racist. It's his company. And he basically built the most racist, sexist company ever.
Mm. So what I am getting from it is I do feel like it's going to pick up. But mm-hmm. I'm at the same time getting annoyed with myself. Like, Drazlan, why are you even still giving this show a chance? Like, is it because everyone says it's good? Is it because it's the thing? It's always like, I was like, I just did White Lotus. Now today is telling me about Ted Lasso. Common denominator is just all white.
Ted Lasso is not all white. Ted Lasso is very diverse. The main character is white, but they have Blacks, Mexicans. They have a lot of Nigerians. So I would say the least white.
I'll consider. And funny enough, I get screeners to Ted Lasso, so I could, because I'm not paying for nobody's Apple. I have an Apple TV. I don't know why the hell they say I got to pay them to watch the content on there. I'm tired of all these streaming services.
Yeah.
I have to reactivate Paramount Plus to watch Drag Race.
Yeah, I got to call my cousin and tell her I'm about to cancel that Disney because this is for the kids and I don't watch it.
I'm not doing all of this with everybody. So I'll see if I could watch the screeners of Ted Lasso for free. If not, I'm not. Because other than that, what else am I having Apple TV for? Ted Lasso? Please.
Because I'm going to cancel it as soon as it's done.
You got to at least have a few shows on there that I'm willing, that I watch for mm-hmm. me to now be paying for you consistently. But anyways, moving on into a special of our weekly grab, since we did have a break, Let's get into a few of the shows that we watched during the break that stood out to us.
There were a couple.
Yeah, so you start with yours.
Okay, so the first one I want to talk about that I like binge, I'm still on the most recent season, is a show called Couples Therapy. I will very rarely be so passionate about a show that I want people to watch other than Couples Therapy. It's on Showtime. If you have Hulu, it's an extension. It's just people, couples in therapy. It's not reality. It's not actors. It's literally a couples therapist. And she asks permission for these couples to kind of tape them going through their therapy session. Every season, there's a different couple. It kind of started pre-COVID. So I'm on season 3, which is like up to date. But the one thing I love about the show is whether you're single like me or married like Geraldine in a relationship, you never leave an episode without learning something about you and how you are in a relationship. That's the good. Therapist, not only does she talk to them about their childhood traumas, what brings people together, what keeps people together, but she also has these check-ins with like her mentor, and she's able to be honest about what she feels about these couples outside of therapy. Without giving too much away, there's one couple where she recognizes that they have a trauma bond. She's like, this woman is so anxious. This guy doesn't care. And this just like cycle, and she won't listen to me. And I understand how the husband feels. And you're able to see a therapist in real time talk about how she feels about her patients. You're able to see a lot of yourself, your relationships in these, because it's so real. It's so raw. It talks about cheating. It talks about being cold to your partner, being open to your partner. So I was like, I could not wait for us to come back for me to tell everybody. You don't have to. And then my friend, he loves it. He's like, it actually does, makes him not want a relationship because it's a lot of work. Like people don't under, I think us as human beings, we're bred to like be with somebody, but the work you have for yourself, and then you got to meet somebody else and all that work, it's a lot. And it's the trauma that you see these, some couples make it, some couples don't. One couple quit because the husband was just like, an asshole. He was a narcissist. When you watch it, you'll see the couple I'm talking about. He was a narcissist. He was an asshole and he couldn't take the therapy. He was like, I should be the therapist. But the therapist was able to correlate it to his traumatic childhood of his mother just literally leaving him and not coming back. So the way he treats women correlates to that. Yeah. So you will walk away from that show with something for you and your significant other in your relationship. For it's something for yourself if you're single. And it's gay couples, straight couples, couples of different origin.
Because relationships are work. And it is only the strong survive. Like these things sound cheesy, but it's really true. It's a lot about personal growth and personal happiness. And oftentimes people get into relationships thinking that they're going to get this out of this relationship. Like, you make me happy. Mm-hmm. You got to be happy personally. Oh, yeah. In order to make this person happy and for them to make you happy. And that takes a lot of self-digging. And the fact that I've been with my man since I was 19, you could only imagine the hard things we had to go through just as we were just personally growing. Like I could speak for myself, like it was a lot. And as I would go through these changes in opening my eyes to myself and the things that I needed to change, to see that I had someone willing to go that mile with me, it just would make me fall in love with him more and more. And I'm lucky. Not everybody is so lucky to find someone that's that dope. Like a lot of people got to do, like it could be two people coming with mad crazy baggage and now they're in love, but it's so much baggage. Are they going to both be able to go through their personal journey to rid themselves of that baggage and come together and move forward together? Or are they going to let this baggage continue to weigh them down personally? And then it affects them as a couple. And then it's just like.
And support each other through that. And I think the one thing I love about this show is like, okay, so Marriage Bootcamp is famous people. Housewives is famous people. And then you have like written shows. This is literally a therapist saying, hey, can I just film it? And they're like, sure. And it's raw and it's authentic.
Oh, I love it.
Everybody needs to add this.
I'll check it out. I think, I don't know. I gotta see if I could sign it to my parents' Showtime because I'm not paying for Showtime for one.
Yes. I'm gonna try to add it to my Hulu because it's just worth it. But I think whether you watch it with Mark by yourself, I've never left.
Yeah, that would be one we gotta watch together.
to be like, wow, I'm single, but damn, I recognize that. Oh, I see that. And my friend who put me on, she's been with her boyfriend for, I think, 4 or 5 years, but he's a therapist. So they both like to watch it together. Sometimes they watch it apart. It's just a really good show about love. Like you said, loving yourself and then bringing that all together. So
that's what everybody
watch it.
That's what it's about.
What did you watch?
A show that I was watching to the break that stood out was Beef. I had went to the event. That's where I met Law Roach. It was so dope.
Shout out to Law Roach.
Yeah. Shout out to Law. I went to that event. That event was really modeled around wellness and like mental health and kind of woosaw. Like they didn't serve any alcohol. It was all fresh squeezed juices with fruits and lemons in it and cucumbers and fresh food, like vegan food. And they had areas where you could paint. And then they had an area where you could like hit the target and to like release stress. We got to plant plants that we got to bring home. It's not these plants. These are fake plants. But I have the plant in the bathroom and we can name our plant. And then they gave us sage. And then we had a sound meditation. And then it went into this discussion with Law Roach. And this discussion was modeled around watching clips of the show. So the few clips that they played, I was just like, what the hell? First of all, the show starts off and the whole show is about a road rage incident.
Yes, please don't give away too much. I'm on episode 2, so I want to finish it.
No, I'm not gonna. No. There's nothing else to tell. It starts over this road rage incident that you see in episode 1, and it's so crazy. You're like, what the? You know, so you keep watching it, only for by the time you get to the season finale, you're like, I can't believe all of this happened from a damn road rage incident. The show. It's so many crazy twists and turns and what comes out of anger. And even going back to what you were just saying, talking about couples therapy of just not working through trauma and your ugly parts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still such good writing, amazing acting, phenomenal, phenomenal.
I love that it's Asian.
Around Asian culture, primarily Korean. They're Korean in the show. And it's so good. Like, you're not even thinking about it being like primarily Asian. Like, it is just a good ass show with good acting. I was so here for it. It was disappointing afterwards when the whole thing, they was talking about the one character.
I heard somebody had like
a sick alleged joke that he once basically sexually assaulted a masseuse. And that just was like weird. That's why I didn't even post my picture with Law, because that was all happening at the same time. I was like, I don't feel comfortable.
I don't feel safe.
No. And it got all this going on. So I'm just saving it for another day because it's a cute picture with me and Law. But if you have not watched that show, watch Beef. That show is so, 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 so good. I would be here for them continuing that show on each season with a new cast, kind of like they do with White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it just ties to rage. Like, everyone feels rage. Everyone kind of has that. And it's in the way it kind of focuses on two people that, you know, aren't that great to in the end, you know, it's like you and how they really needed to work on that. And because they didn't, it got the worst of them. I think you can tie that to so many different people, keep it diverse, keep the essence of what that show is, kind of like probably two people or a person and an entity or whatever, having this feud, a beef, and how it plays out. I would love to see this show have another season.
I want more shows to do that. Kind of.
Yes.
Keep the base premise, but maybe change the entire cast, like a White Lotus. I think that'd be a good premise for people.
Yep. What other shows were you watching?
We both were watching it, and it is SWV and Escape.
Oh yeah, that was so good. It was because I wasn't expecting. You could tell they weren't even expecting everything that came out to come out on the show, and it really just opened our eyes to Tasha.
And
the 637 albums that she ended up selling.
I know that Candy and even Tamika said a lot of them said that. And I think they blame Mona, which I don't think is fair. One, Mona's got young, creative love in hip hop. What you thought you was going to go on a freaking Jesus Saves TD Jake show? No, you knew she was going to amp up the drama. So I don't like when people go on reality TV knowing the producer and thinking they're going to get a kumbaya moment. I don't think Mona did anything but make good TV because we all watch. So that's the first thing.
Mona made Tamika tell everybody that her sister stole her money.
Hello. And then
Mona didn't make your husband reveal the damn predator that he is.
Hello. And then the whole way that Tasha handled being confronted. I've never seen Mona somebody
do that.
What's this? This don't mean she didn't even read it.
I'm a prey on it. No, girl.
They looked at the text like, what is this? Can you open your eyes? Can you read it, please? So I just was obsessed with that show. I do think once again that Candy went through something traumatic before the whole TLC Scrubs thing. I think it was between her doing the TLC thing, escape breaking up, and being a housewife. I think Candy had a moment of time when she was broke. And I think Candy don't ever want to be broke again. So I think Candy's number thing is family and funds. Yep. So I think she cares about her family and her funds. So yeah, SWV, I've been around longer. Y'all got a number one key. I want money. Mm-hmm. I care about my money, which I'm not mad at. Because I think when you know what it's like to not have and now you have, I don't think she messing with her
child. I didn't think it was a problem, but at the same time, it was just like, if y'all going to do a concert with SWV, y'all know damn well don't nobody want y'all to hear y'all go last.
No,
I don't have one song that needs to close out a concert with SWV on the card. Not one. And I don't care if even if you put more money into the tour, it's about what the fans want. And there's no majority of fans that wants to hear y'all close out the show with Understanding or Just Kicking It over You're the One, Rain Down on Me, Weak. Yeah. Any of those three songs, I would rather hear over any of Escape songs
closing out. Do it together. So, honestly, I think end it together.
Like
end it together, do it, and we're leaving.
And that
other than that, I think Latasha was the biggest loser. I think SWV about to go on tour with Jodeci.
Yeah,
the three Escape is going on tour. They actually selling out shows. The real loser was Latasha because one, you tried to convince us that you was really into this gospel. What I've heard of the snippets of her album, girl, it's an R&B album. It's not gospel.
It wasn't. You didn't have to come out with a gospel album. You could have just did a solo album and had a few inspirational songs. We all love Jesus. You don't have to be a gospel artist to make a song about Jesus.
Yeah. I would have believed if it was R&B. I would have honestly think she would have been more successful, but I think
I absolutely agree. She would
like
have
been more successful. No.
So,
a blogger was playing the clips. Girl, it sounds like R&B. And there's nothing wrong with gospel with a twist, but it was not giving me God.
It's not giving God, girl.
So yes, I would like
betrayal.
Like SWV to have their own show only because I love Lily on TV. I think Lily is hilarious. Like, fuck that shit. I think Coco is hilarious, especially Coco's life. I follow her on TikTok. Her cousin passed away and asked her as a joke, like, if I've ever passed away, would you watch my kids? She said, yeah. And now she has custody of her two younger cousins. So I would like to see them on TV. If not together, we do get Candy. I think Tamika's
like to see another season of Escape and SWV. It was a good show.
Even if it's not them together.
I think Escape could have their own show. Like they have enough drama going on and enough storylines personally to, I would be more here for an Escape spinoff rather than Candy in the game.
Yeah. I would love a show just showing them as groups, not together, like F the concert.
Yeah, that would be good.
Just give me another 5-6 episodes on their tour, the three girls and Tasha selling.
I don't know if Bravo's going to do all of that.
No, they don't give a lot of people more than one season. So,
but the only other two shows I wanted to shout out that I watched over the break, Grand Crew on Peacock. It's so funny. It's just,
you got to watch that show. Yeah.
It's such a breath of fresh air.
You know what that means?
It's just really I watch an episode just to laugh. It's so funny. And it's like a good representation of Black culture, but in a way that everyone can digest.
And everyone's amazing. Everyone on our show is just so funny. Like,
but we gotta watch it because they moved it to Friday, and that's right. Always like a death of shows when they move shows from like Tuesday, Wednesdays to Fridays. That means that the viewership is not where it needs to be. So I'm trying to like rewatch the rewinds. Like, I want to give them their points because it's such a good premise. Like, I black know. Friends who love wineries. And like hanging out.
It's so funny. It's like a fun show. And but you know, they canceled, they moved. What's the show I was watching? Southside. I started on Comedy Central, then that moved to HBO Max, then they got canceled. And I'm like, it's such a funny show, but you know, it gotta be more people watching it. We gotta all watch Rap Shit when it comes back on HBO Max, because that's a really good show. Yes. But it's like, if we're not going to support it and really put all of our efforts behind it, eventually they're going to cancel it because they just don't understand and they don't care.
To your point, this is why it's more white shows, because white people will watch these shows. We would want to talk
about it. No, it's not, girl. Let's not put it that white people will watch these shows. They will. These studios will continue to push this show. Even if people aren't even watching it that much, because they believe in it, because they relate to it more. Mm-hmm. It's not that people are not watching the shows that have predominantly people of color cast. It's not. It's just that the people in charge making decisions look like the motherfuckers in Succession.
And it's the push. It's the promos. How many of your people? I've only seen Nicole Byer do promo for Grand Crew. They have other stars. They can have all these people going on these shows and promoting.
No, it's like, oh, they know Nicole Byer. Let's push her. But it's like, you have these other guys that are talented, but you don't believe in them because you don't understand them. But let it have been another little fucking Pete Davidson or some shit. Y'all gonna have his ass all over everywhere. Everyone just knowing who the hell Timothy Chalamet is. I don't know who these motherfuckers are, but I just know their name because I hear it so damn much. It's just like, it's not, you know, it is what it is. We know what it is. Yeah. But no, it's not that we're not watching these shows, because these shows are funny. I even like to test the, I'll go check the hashtags, and it's like, yeah, it's only black people watching this, but what if it got more promotion? What if it had a crossover, have somebody, a famous celebrity go appear on the show or something? Who knows? If you just put more into it, if you care to, but you know. But let's get into our hot topics. Sizzle. We'll keep these ones short because the hot topic news just broke today.
Literally as I'm on my way home on the phone.
What is it, bestie?
Karoi and Kim are done maybe less than a year or two after Be Tardy got canceled. She had a lot of rumors that they were going broke. And then she was like, no, I'm not going broke. Then she was selling her wigs, selling her clothes on the internet, but still not going broke. Literally this morning, it was, no, she owes the tax man $1 million. Minutes later, she files for divorce and she wants her name back. She doesn't want to be, she said, I don't want to be
Kim Zolciak
again.
Not Kim Zolciak Bierman.
So what do we really think, Wes? What do we really think of this news?
The rain didn't mean a thing. The money ran dry.
She said bye-bye.
The fuck ASAP. Back to her little townhouse she goes.
I don't think she really loved him. I mean, I think she loved him when he was an Atlanta Falcons star. She loved him when he was young and into her. But I think she wants a lot. And I think she demands a lot financially. And I think instead of going through it with him, she wants to get divorced. Now, my question is...
Because I'm sure he's probably he tried to fight for it. That's kind of what I got from him, too. Like, he was a family man, came in younger than her, adopted her two daughters, had more children with her, just was willing to do whatever for her. I don't see him willing to throw in the towel just because the funds ran dry. I do think it could have caused a lot of tension and arguing, and Tim was just ready to check out.
The thing that sticks out is she put in the divorce thing like it's irreparable. Like, there's no way they can get back. Because one thing I've been reading on divorces, like, sometimes they say, like, maybe we can get back together. But she made a point to put, we are never, ever getting back together.
Getting back together.
Now, Kim, or is she really trying to weasel her way back into RHOA because the money is drying up? And what else is really Kim doing? Nothing. I feel like, especially she's going to make an appearance. Sheree is pushing for like the season ones to kind of get more love. That's why they do make an appearance this season, because of Sheree. I think Kim wants the money and she's like, oh, well, I'm divorced. Andy, call me.
Well, I'm here for it. Oh my gosh. Someone put a tweet today. It said, we need another network to pick up these OGs and some of these veterans. If they had Nene, Cynthia, Kim, Eva, and Portia, and there's one more. Oh, Lisa Wu.
We love Lisa
Wu. It would be such a good show. I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be so good.
You know who I loved on RRHO and she only had one season? Claudia Jordan. I think she was one of the...
I always loved Shamari.
I think Claudia was one of the two that was reading Nene's
Claudia, name. Yeah, that's what it was. Claudia gave Nene too much lit. And Nene, remember at that time, the highest paid housewife, she really was running things. Mm-hmm. And they got rid of Claudia because Nene was like, it's either her or me. That's my take.
BET Plus, like, listen to us.
There was no reason for them to get rid of Claudia. She was so good serving Nene with that little self-made bob and everything. But other than they could
give Paige for another chance. A lot of people need another chance, right, even if she's on a different show. I think Bravo.
I mean, because it's just that Nene really crossed the line. And when you cross it that far, I don't think that they're going to bring her back. Unless, who knows? Who knows? I won't say never, but it ain't going to happen no time soon.
No.
Especially, I don't even think Nene's going about it the right way to kind of mend the fences. So, you know, because
I agree. Instead of just letting it be, she's talking crap about them. And I think I personally am not a fan of like shitting on the people who made you who you are. Nene, we wouldn't know who you were if it wasn't for Bravo. We wouldn't have no, same with right. Bethany. I can't stand that lady, but
can't stand her
you right. would not be you if it wasn't for Andy. So you need to humble yourselves a little bit. Not saying they're perfect or you're perfect, but you would not be Nene Leakes if it wasn't for Housewives. So right. It's okay. Like it didn't work out, but the way she's doing it, I agree. I don't think they're going to give her another shot.
No. Elsewhere, honorable mention on our hot topics. It's not necessarily tied to a television show. We could just make up one, the Kings of R&B, Usher versus Tenaya's cousin, Chris Brown, in Las Vegas over the weekend, stemming over Teyana Taylor. What are your thoughts?
This is going to be a controversial thought, but then kind of not. I think Chris puts himself in situations where he's always looked at as the culprit, the angry person. I think after everything that went on years ago with Rihanna, you were supposed to do a better job at not being in these rooms. And his problem is that whether it's true or not, it's more believable. If you're screaming and if I don't have context and I catch Chris Brown having road rage, it's going to go viral because he's angry. He's Chris Brown. He always wants to fight. He's the person who was an abuser. I think he needs better people in his corner to tell him, bro, whether it's true or not, it's the optics. His optics always look crazy. Because Usher was kind of saying, like, you can't believe everything you hear. It's not even it doesn't even matter if it's true or false, best friend, because he makes it look like it's true. He's always caught on video screaming. He's always looking angry. And I'm just like, my brother, I want you to feng shui. I want you to just pay attention.
He's not going to feng shui. I mean, I've heard things around the industry about him being violent towards women. There's hearsay chatter about his extracurricular activities. And in this regard, where you're saying putting himself in rooms, a party that was thrown for you by Usher and someone that you two have called each other brother and sister for over a decade was there. That's being in a wrong room. That's going to set you off. You are the problem. You have been the problem. You continue to be the problem. You've basically been blacklisted over the years because of your anger issues. And that couldn't even humble you enough to revive yourself in a way where it could have been your saving grace. Because he could have been redeemed from that. But over the years, it's constantly, somebody even did a tweet of just listing like 2009, Rihanna, 2011, he throws the chair at the Today Show interview, 2012, accused of punching a woman, later in 2012, accused of like, it's not always no. And even from what I've heard from an actual woman who told me, I'm not saying this is true, but a woman told me out of her mouth that he tried to fight her like a man, like she was a man. I'm not going to say she's lying or whatever, but it's like now at this point where I hear all these things about Chris Brown, why would I think she's lying? I'm not sitting here going blame Teyana Taylor. I love Teyana Taylor.
Oh, that's because of Teyana.
And there, it was clear as day in that video that he had an issue with her. Just the one little video clip we saw of him like yelling at her and Usher coming like, yo, and just trying to push him away. It's like, really? The same girl that got into it with Rihanna on your behalf? Now that's the one you cursing out. People said he called her all kinds of bitches. Yeah, no, you're the problem, bruh. You're the problem.
He needs to. He has a lot of healing to do, but I like you don't.
Because at this point, Jesus
don't make it better.
A whole sanctified. You need to go to a retreat and get it all out your system and have a come to Jesus moment to have a real turnaround. Because it's like you have an attitude problem. It's like a disgusting attitude problem, and it's always it is him. I don't care. Even when he lost the Grammy to Robert Glasper, he's like, "Who the fuck is Robert Glasper?"
And I love Robert Glasper. You know,
get over yourself, bro. Like seriously, I like his singles, but it's like I can't remember the last time you've had a good quality album because it's like you kind of just to me, I feel like he just kind of goes with the flow of what's. Like, oh yeah, Afro Beats is in. Let me get some Afro Beats. Yeah, let's do that. And you're talented, so you could do that. But it's like, to me, are you really going in the studio and making like a freaking confessions? No.
Sorry. This ties into what you said earlier, when people don't work on their stuff and when they kind of just eliminate the people in your lives that can help you. And he decides to kind of like change his environment to like yes people as opposed to like really working on himself. I think he can be his own downfall. And I think if he took the time to like heal, get rid of that anger, his daddy issues, because I see that from a mile away, I think he could be better, but he is his own worst enemy. And I feel like Usher is never in no beef. And Teyana, like you have to look at everybody. Usher
or Teyana Taylor. Chris Brown.
One thing they don't do, and even Teyana Taylor, because she got a lot of stuff she could say about her ex-friend and speak with her ex. She don't even get down like that. She's very like, I'm going to keep my ish under wraps. So I know for a fact he's a common denominator. I'm going to pray for him. And he just needs some good people around him.
Well, Tanae is praying for him. And we are moving on to our piss poor performance.
So we're going to pray for Chris and we're going to also pray for Courtney from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Let me tell you why. Sis, even when she said, I'm not a clout chaser, that is something a clout chaser would say because nobody said you was a clout chaser.
You said it, girl.
Nobody, even the first scene was her, Sheree, and Sonya. And she said, oh, you know, I just thought it was weird. But the energy she had in Candy's face, sis, I think you want a peach. I think you're trying too hard. And one thing that I compare her to like a Drew or a Sonya, to where you could like maybe have confrontation with somebody, but you don't got to be that fake. And the energy, the bucking about having somebody say that they know you, I just was a very bad taste in my mouth. I can tell from interviews that Kenya and Candy are doing that she does more to kind of just do too much. Like we were saying, those housewives that just want to be on it so bad that they infiltrate and make crap up. Courtney, I'm not feeling you. I'm not gonna follow you. I'm already over you.
She's just gonna easily make herself the target, and if that's gonna be your rise to fame, and go ahead, girl, go on. She's
like, I have marketing consulting companies. No, I hear people do that.
Like, sounds like a scam, but okay. Anyways, Courtney, so my piss poor performance is going to Raquel Levis. I think we ended with me giving her my piss poor performance, and
she got it again. And I'm caught up to the drama. Never watched the show.
Because at this point now, you're seeing it really kind of unravel. And at the end of the day, I didn't think Tom and Ariana needed to last as long. I didn't even know why they were together, but it don't matter. The way him and Raquel went about that affair is just so low, dirty, and disgusting. Raquel, girl, you are sick, okay? Yeah. I don't care playing this little victim role and how heartbroken you are over James, but you want to get up under all his friends and everybody on the show. You clearly have an attraction to men that are in relationships, are tied to someone, and that's so lame and so corny and so nasty and so rude. Okay, so I do not feel sorry for Raquel. She tried to pull the mental health card. Girl, we are watching clear as day that you are very aware of your actions. Granted, you are ditzy, like that's been seen on the show from day one, but you're not that ditzy to know that sleeping around with Tom after you done already made out with everybody else who got a girlfriend wasn't a good look. On top of the fact that Ariana was the one person that was your friend and really, really liked you. Girl, you deserve every bit of this dragon that you were getting these days. I'm looking forward to the reunion to see how everybody's going to tell you about your ass. And that's the one thing, too, that bothers me the most about Raquel is the fact that she's making everyone else look good. Yeah. And the whole show, the reason Vanderpump Rules is so good is because it's a cast full of train wrecks. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to like anyone on the cast because they're all pieces of shit. So the fact that Raquel is allowing for Lala Kent to be able to call her a whore, and it's like, Lala, bitch, you are queen whore. You are queen fucking wannabe. And I'm so mad I got to agree with everything you're saying about Raquel because it's true.
Yeah. And my thing is, Raquel is a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
There's so many white men in LA.
Not white.
There's so many white men in LA. Right.
So many hot white men that would be waiting with a red carpet to treat her like the queen that she was deserving to be treated like after baby. James played her. Because I'm not going to sit here and say James didn't play her. He did.
She could be a sugar baby. But I've been, like I said, I've never watched the show, but I'm on like Vanderpump's TikTok. I watch a lot of the podcast interviews. I know Sheena was like, I felt like Sheena feels like crap. Kristen Dowdy, who I think Tom was with before Ariana, was like, I think that it's all horrible. I think Raquel is the worst because it seems like Tom's been he's been an asshole. He's been a narcissist. He's been a cheater. But it's like, Raquel, you was in this girl's house. She had your back. And you just take pride in it. So we're always going to piss on her. She doesn't. Now she's in mental health school or rehab.
No, I definitely feel like there is, like, Tom has always done a good job at, like, really presenting himself as the victim. I would say he was initially the victim when he got cheated on by Kristen. So, yeah, he did cheat on Kristen with Ariana. But this was already, like, after, like, Kristen. The relationship was done. The show starts off where their relationship is like, why are y'all together? But the way Kristen cheated on him with Jax was disgusting. Like, they did it in the house with him, like, sleep in the other room. So I think that there probably could be even still some trauma there where he's just desensitized to cheating because of how that kind of happened to him. But they're all opportunists, everyone. I even think Ariana stayed with him as long as she did because of the opportunity for the show and just, you know, them being the couple on the show. For years, Ariana has not really shown interest in him. I'm sorry. Her saying they don't really have sex. She doesn't want to have sex. She doesn't want to have children, despite how badly he wanted children. I just didn't understand why they were still together. Yeah. So that where I'll defend him in that regard, but still the way you went about it, no, not cool at all.
Yeah.
So
once again, there's so many white women in LA, Tom. I don't understand.
I didn't understand. Yeah. Like, come on. There's so many people. Like, why y'all keep it in the circle? Like, at least James went and got someone new. That's my friend. Shout out to Allie. At least he went to get someone new. And look at the energy Allie is bringing to the show. It's amazing. So it's like, come on. We need new faces.
I'm going to watch the reunion, even though I've never watched the show. I'm going
to
watch the
reunion. Yeah, the reunion. Yeah, you don't need to watch all that shit. But it is good. I love Vanderpump Rules. It's amazing. If you ever want to go back and watch from season one, it is amazing. Like, literally some of the best reality television out there.
Okay. How maybe
get into our yes. I think we agree with our yes this week.
Yes.
Candy Burris.
We love Mrs. Tucker.
Yo, honestly, I feel like the more you hate on her, the more blessed she is. And I claim that energy for myself. Like, hate on me, please, hate on me. Because I think the more you hate, the more I'm going to be blessed. Marlo, what did Marlo do?
Oh, it's so unwarranted. Literally days. Marlo did an interview like a week ago talking about how Candy don't have nothing going on but her spoofs. Candy's not a good mom. She never has time for her children. Just talking crap. Literally less than a week later, Candy got Emmy and Tony Award nominated. Marlo, you will never be nominated for shit. Not even a damn MTV Movie Award. So for you to continue. I just don't understand this hate from Latasha to freaking Sheree being mad, talking about Candy used to be community puss and she's talking about him. Candy tweeted back, I mean, you're going real hard for a guy who everybody done been with, but go off, sis.
Right.
Candy will always be queen. She cares about her family, her money. And the thing is, she's not perfect. She knows she's not perfect. She's honest with her imperfections.
Right.
But I don't understand the hate. I've never got it.
I think I feel like Candy always claims, you know, owns when she might have did something wrong. She's willing to listen. We've seen that in past seasons where she was willing to listen and sit down with Nene and Portia, even Phaedra. But it's like, where does the hate come from? It seems like it's because she's winning.
Yeah,
she's not really doing anything to trigger someone. It's like you're bothered by her success, and it's like,
she doesn't start drama
or insecurity. So
she doesn't
talk
about stuff.
Like anybody who is hating on Candy needs to be La Archived. Because where was La Archived? Where was the update on La Archived?
Probably when she got them ugly big old earrings she had in her ear, because I was like, Marlo, what? Who told you?
Those earrings need to be archived.
And it just doesn't make any sense. And Candy's going to keep winning. And that's what I love about her. She's a true testament of like, the more you hate on me, the more I'm going to give you something to hate about. Because it's somebody coming to the show like, you know, I want to pick one? Candy. Since she's winning so much. Because she is the housewife. If she left tomorrow, she would still have the most businesses. And we forgot to talk about this, but I love how she called Sheree out. Like, Sheree don't want to pay for anything. She tried to help Sheree with the website.
Sure did.
Sheree was like, how much is it, $20? No.
$20? No.
How much?
Sheree do not pay. Sheree do not pay.
That's the episode name.
Yes. Mm. So a special shout out on my yes, because I forgot to add this to the shows that I had watched over the break. But I just want to give a special shout out to Snowfall. That ending.
Don't ruin it.
No, I can't ruin it. But I mean, girl, you late. But the ending was phenomenal. Yeah. I know it was at first getting mixed reactions, but I think in the end, everyone said it was so great. That's why it even caused a reaction. Only a show that's good is going to, whether you're like, no, why would they end it like that? Or that means it's a good show. If it got you reacting and responding, it was a good show. And from jump, Damson Idris has been a phenomenal actor from season one. And he's only gotten better with each season. I think he got robbed at the NAACP Awards. I did for best actor. They gave it to Uncle Clifford, which I get it. But no, Damson Idris is playing a whole country. Like a whole other ethnicity. He's British. Yeah. And really played the mess out of Franklin Saint. Such a good show. Shout out to John Singleton, RIP. They did like a little correlation in the season finale to Boys in the Hood. And it's just a reminder of just the beauty that John Singleton gave us in the time that he was here.
Yeah.
I
gotta watch that. And I did hear Gail Bean might have a spinoff. I don't know how.
Yeah, there's a spinoff coming, and you kind of see them make that he plugs it in the finale, like kind of just talks about what the spinoff is going to be, because the spinoff is going to go tie into gangster rap, the start of gangster rap in the 90s.
Oh, I can't wait. Now I got to hurry up and finish that. But we love Snowfall. We love Damson.
Yes.
I love Louie. Okay. Louie is my auntie. She just gives me like an auntie I have in my life. So just give a yes to Damson.
And Uncle Jerome. Of course, Uncle Jerome. We all loved Uncle Jerome. He was a fan favorite. So just shout out to the whole cast. Snowfall. Such a good one.
Yes.
And on that note, let's end with some positivity. Great. What you got, bestie?
Anyone who uses their word to break you will turn out to be a very good liar. So do not be broken.
Okay, I heard that.
Okay.
And mine is, my body is healthy. My mind is creative. My soul is calm. And on that note, our slogan is
love, peace, and hair bundles, no. I think. I messed it up again.
It's season two, and we're back at this. Taneya forgot the damn slogan over the break, y'all. Love, Abundance.
They air bundles. Yes, box braid bundles too. Doesn't matter. This will just be a running joke every season. I'm just gonna forget the slogan. That's it.
But we're back, y'all. Season 2 is here, and the surprise is out. We'll be doing video episodes every so often, and you'll get to see our pretty faces and see how we really are best friends and just feed off of each other.
You see the faces to the voices. We are friends with voices. FWV.
Yes, we're friends with voices. And on that note, we are...
See you guys next week.
Bye.